Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio. Different kind of slide over baby hour, apparently. Jason Smith show with Mike Harmon. Mike Harmon out tonight. Steve DeSager in for Harmon. Harmon's out. I believe he's kayaking, actually. I mean, not right now, just late at night. I think he's on a couple-day kayaking trip. Blue Emu Maximum Pain Relief works fast and you won't stink. It's pharmacist-recommended odor-free pain relief for muscle pain, backache, strains, sprains, or even arthritis. No stinging or burning involved. It is simple pain relief. Blue Emu Maximum Pain Relief works fast and you won't stink. So we'll get to Jim Harbaugh coming up in a couple of seconds, because really he's a microcosm of society with what he had to say today about college football and Michigan's desire to play right now. But we got to talk about what happened in the bubble tonight with the Lakers and the Nuggets. Lakers wind up beating the Nuggets 124-121. The game was tied with a few seconds left to go. Lakers call the final play for Kyle Kuzma or potentially Anthony Davis. And it doesn't matter how tall Bol Bol is, Kyle Kuzma gets the shot up over him.
Into AD with three, with two. Kuz to win it. Yes, sir! Kuzma, it's not official yet. .4 remaining, but Kuz drains it.
Billy Mack on Lakers TV with the call. 0.4 seconds left to go. Derek Fisher does not come in. That is the game-winning shot. Kuzma had a huge night tonight, 11 out of 15 from the floor. He started for the Lakers. He hits the game-winning shot. And this could have been a play that was either Kuzma for the win or AD, because Bol Bol leaves AD to come out and try to close out on Kuzma. He could have easily slid a small pass to Anthony Davis, who had an open lane to the hoop for what could have been a game-winning dunk. So really, it was for either one. Is it a big deal that LeBron didn't get the play called for him? Stop. You're just inventing a story if you want to invent the fact that LeBron didn't have the game-winning play called for him. These games are meaningless. They're meaningless for the Lakers. What is more meaningful is getting Kyle Kuzma in the mental frame of mind where he can contribute and be a huge impact player in the playoffs. And Kuzma is up and down. He's not one of those guys that's consistent every single game. He is someone who is in a great run emotionally, and he's fantastic, and he's the third best player on the team. It's not even close. And then there's games where I haven't seen him in a week. You know, that's Kyle Kuzma. What's most important for the Lakers is to empower him and get him and the other bench players to a great spot. In fact, after the game tonight, LeBron talked about it and said, in order for us to win a championship, he has to be our third best player. And that if he and AD don't have it going, Kuz has to be the second best player. I mean, said, this is what we need from you now. With one game left in the bubble, this is what we need. And this is a big night for the Lakers because they got the game-winning shot from Kyle Kuzma. It's what they needed. All right? Just the Lakers losing is not it's either a big deal or it isn't. But the Clippers losing and the Bucks losing has to be the same thing. But it's not, because the rules are different. And we've talked about this on the show. And now it's finding its way into other shows. Congratulations. Information's free. But we've talked about this, that the headlines are not created equal. And if you want to jump up and bash Lakers, look, there have many things the Lakers have said that I'm critical of. I call it like I see it. But tonight was a way to get another player in, to potentially get him in a great frame of mind for the playoffs, and they figured it out. And so that was a great night tonight for the Lakers, for Kyle Kuzma, who is so much feeling it. After the game was over, he was asked about that final play, that final shot over Bol Bol, and this is what Kuzma had to say.
I think Jesus could be in front of me, and I'll probably still shoot. I mean, it don't really matter to me.
Jesus could be in front of him, and he would still shoot over him. He'd still shoot over Jesus.
Shoot or shoot, you know, they could be ones for 20.
Yeah, and you know, Jesus is a great trash talker, too. I mean, you can imagine what Jesus would be saying.
Well, he would be the best defender.
He would be. And, you know, especially in that he's the first one to have his own signature line of sandals. And, you know, to be able to play on the – he could slide out and try to stop that shot. I'll tell you.
Which is essentially tough. What the Nike shoes were when they first came out, right? With Phil Knight.
Jesus. Now, he said Jesus, right? Not the Jesus, right? Now, we're not talking about Big Lebowski, right? He said it was just Jesus. Not clipboard Jesus, which is Charlie Whitehurst. It was Jesus.
Haven't heard that name in a while.
All right, well, come on.
Of course, we don't have any NFL training camps going on.
No, that's true. But you know somewhere Charlie Whitehurst is walking around. He's walking around his house carrying a clipboard. I mean, that's what he's doing. He's just walking around the house with a clipboard. What are you doing, Charlie? No, just this is what I normally do. I miss football.
That should be his football card picture every year, honestly.
Him and Jim Sorge, you know, they just walking around holding clipboards.
Gold, sure.
That's what they're doing.
You mentioned the Lakers. They had lost four of the last five in Orlando. What was notable to me, whether Kuzma hit the shot or not, and you're right, you can't really underestimate what this potentially means for the future. They need the third guy. The Lakers were horrible for most of these games in Orlando. The worst shooting team there, the only one under 100 points a game. Here they not only shoot over 50% and stayed there all night, they had 124 points in the end and won with a clutch last-second performance that wasn't from LeBron or AD.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, phone number 877-99 on Fox, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon, Steve DeSager in for Mike. We'll have more NBA on the way, but as we get ready for tomorrow, in college football, we're going to find out what kind of season we're going to have in a couple of weeks or if it's going to get postponed. As the Big Ten and the Pac-12 are going to have votes with school presidents over whether or not to play the season as it's ready to go in a couple of weeks, which is no way that's happening because nobody's ready to play. Play the week of September 26th or postpone to the spring. This is what we're going to find out from at least two conferences tomorrow. The ACC and the Big 12 are kind of up in the air. The SEC wants to play no matter what. We're on the big precipice of something that is completely revolutionary in college sports that we've never seen tomorrow. And so we're getting this. And we're likely what we're going to get is that the Big 10 is going to postpone their season, likely the Pac-12. Dan Patrick having the report earlier today, the Big 12 is likely to do it. The Detroit Free Press reporting that tonight. Steve's been talking about that.
Big 10.
Since the beginning of the Big 10, right? Sorry, the Big 10. The Big 10, Steve reporting that tonight earlier as well. So the Freep having that story as well. Now, Jim Harbaugh made a lot of headlines today in going against his school's recommendation because Michigan, according to Dan Patrick on Fox earlier today, was one of the schools that voted against starting the season now. They wanted to start it sometime later on. Whether it's going to be at the end of September or at in the spring is a different thing.
Even the ACC is not starting like September 1st right around there. Even they are starting a bit later, and that's the conference that told CBS tonight, absolutely, we're going to try and play this season. Everybody knows you can't start on time this year.
No, and there's no way they're going to be able to play in 2 weeks, in 3 weeks. We're not, there's no, teams aren't in pads. They can't even work out. Some can't even work out. You're not doing anything more than conditioning right now. And we're two weeks away from our first game. No one's going to be ready. No one's going to be ready for that. You need a big, look at what the NFL is doing. When they finally get around to it, because it's a week of everybody's getting tested now, and now they got to see what the tests come back, and then they're going to start. It's going to be, 12 days of just conditioning, and then they can be around each other.
It's a long ramp up because they have a union that asked for things.
Exactly. College football, the players don't have it, so here's college football going to try to jam everything through. They're not going to be able to do it. But this is a shining example of why we are where we are in sports and why college football can't get on the same page. All right, here's a statement from Jim Harbaugh. He put this out today after the story leaks that Michigan was one of the schools that voted against starting the college football season on time. I'm not advocating for football this fall because of my passion or our players' desire to play, but because of the facts accumulated over the last 8 weeks since our players returned to campus. I am advocating on August 10th that this virus can be controlled and handled because of these facts, right? These are the facts that Jim Harbaugh is letting go. Michigan football program had 11 positive tests out of 893. Now, that's awesome, only having 11 out of 893. They've had two positive tests out of the last 417 administered, zero positive tests out of the last 350 administered. Again, these are all great numbers. Zero positive tests among the coaches or staff. Awesome. No contact tracing to fields, weight room, locker room facility. Zero pauses in training. All great. Complied with all CDC guidelines. They followed all health and safety guidelines. As Daryl Conway, our chief medical officer and a member of the Big Ten's medical advisory group, has stated, I wish that others could see this model. This is where I wish Jim Harbaugh would really focus his attention on, because everything he's saying is great. It's all
those are the facts, Jason Smith.
These are the facts. These are the Michigan facts. But I hear him talk, and he sounds like one of those parents who says, my kid needs to go to school in a month because my kids barely get it. And they're, you know, my kid's going to be fine. And they can't see past themselves, which is why we're in this whole thing with COVID-19. Yes, your school may be doing it great, and that's awesome. But you're not just going out there and playing against each other. You're eventually going to hit a field where you are playing against other people and other schools that may not be as good as you. And as you see, it's impossible to control COVID-19. Major League Baseball players who are getting paid in the high hundreds of thousands and millions of dollars still can't take it. They got to go out and party. Right, Mike Clevenger had to go out. Couldn't stay home
ridiculous.
Saturday night. Had to go out.
I will have more on that this hour. You'll find out the depths of ridiculousness.
Marlins players, Cardinals players, none of them could do the right thing, and now
and it costs the Phillies, for example.
It's costing other teams because they couldn't do the right thing. You have to realize that it's bigger than just what you control. And Harbaugh doesn't realize that. Just like parents who don't realize I send my kid to school and they should be fine. First of all, we're all in it together. So sending your kid to school, your kid could get it from somebody else that's not doing it as carefully as you could. Hey, because we all know parents send their kids to school when they're sick. It happens all the time. Parents are going to do it. What about the administrators and the teachers that you're saying, well, my kid's got to go to school? They're putting themselves in line. They're older, right? They could wind up getting COVID-19. Don't care about them, though.
You are right,
because it's about the kid.
Some parents view school as half babysitting and half school. And I had a teacher having to go through Zoom classes saying that he never had every student on his Zoom class. Trying to conduct class to finish last semester, and it really proved how much some parents didn't invest in the least in school and that it was babysitting. When you talked about Jim Harbaugh's facts, and these are the facts, I'm glad you pointed out those are just the facts within your programming. Because did you know, Jason Smith, that Josh Allen, the facts are, he completed like 75% of his passes in 7-on-7 drills. Of course, it wasn't exactly a game, but Josh Allen, I guess we can say, is a 75% completion quarterback, right?
Yeah, exactly. You could say that's what he is. Oh, but it didn't. No, but that's the facts. Look, anybody can take the facts and twist them the way they want to. But this is not Harbaugh twisting the facts. This is just, I'm going to use the facts I have just for my team because this gives my argument. But when you get bigger than that and you get into, okay, what about the other players and teams you're going to come in contact with? You know, what's going to happen if they give it to one of your players? You can't control what another school does.
What if the St. Louis Cardinals join the Big Ten?
You can't. Oh, but forget
doomed.
It. You couldn't play any games at all. The whole Midwest would be canceled. He doesn't understand that it's bigger than him. And so, yes, this comes from the fact that I think he just wants to coach and he just wants to play. And when I see this, I go, this is a guy that needs to stick to sports. Because clearly he doesn't see anything that's going on with this COVID-19 other than what he wants to read on the internet or what he wants to believe about his team. We got it all set. We're taken care of. We're good. Well, not everybody else is doing it that way. Look at Alabama and LSU, right? There, how many positive COVID-19 tests? They have 35, 40 positive COVID-19 tests. Maybe some of these schools are trying herd immunity because they read that it worked well. We could do herd immunity and wind up being okay. This is what
Try
some
again.
College football teams are doing. So to not see that is so short-sighted, and to not understand that there's a bigger world out there than just this. Now, if Jim Harbaugh just wants to throw out there, I think we should play and we're doing things right here at Michigan, that's one thing. If he wanted to say, listen, I understand, but this is where we're at right now. I would hope everybody can do the same type of thing. But no. We should play because our school has done this. There's no win or loss you get for how you do this. There's only keeping your players safe. Michigan's not going to start the season 3-0 because they have no positive COVID-19 test. But that's kind of the way he's attacking this. And I get that that's who he is. That what's the impetus? What's the obstacle in front of me today? And I'm going to tackle it. But to talk like like this, you just seem short-sighted. You just don't seem like you know what's going on in the world, only of what you want to read and what you want to see. So when I see Jim Harbaugh, that's what he sounds like to me. One of those parents that just, I school should start because my your kids are going to be okay. They're not going to get it. I mean, really, you want to be that school where a kid gets really, really sick? Because you're talking about college football across the country. Some kids are going to get it. Some kids are going to get really sick. Just because you've been okay. And the kids that you've been overseeing have been okay for a while.
And your youth doesn't exempt you from the effects of it. As Tony Boselli's kid, Florida State lineman, there's a college-age player. The disease wiped the floor with him. And the whole herd immunity thing, as soon as there was, like at Clemson, all of these positive cases, and then people, like you said, started to say, well, let's just let it run through. First off, you're making the decision for someone else's health? Thanks. But do we not know in the world that that's exactly what Sweden did? That they didn't shut down and thought, let's just have it run through the population. Let's keep going about our business. Well, you might say, well, Sweden's done okay, right? Yeah, but that's a small population. If you look at it by how many deaths from the virus per million population, Sweden's not just in the top 10, but has more deaths per million than the United States and Brazil from COVID-19. How did it work, this herd immunity? It didn't in 2020.
It's an idea that people saw on the internet. Or maybe herd immunity works. Oh, well, all right, well, herd immunity. I mean, there's so many things in the first few days, in the first couple of months of COVID-19 that we thought was, oh, this is how you do it, and oh, no, it's not. Look, we didn't even know all the symptoms. And remember, in the first couple of, these symptoms are COVID-19, these symptoms are not. And then pretty much any symptom could be COVID-19.
It's so new. Okay. That brings us to what you talked about in the first hour of tonight's show, the fact that the heart ailment is an aspect that Pac-12 people were actually talking about on their conference call tonight, that we can't risk, forget this year, making some of our football athletes sick. We don't know the long-term effects on athletes, humans, whatever, because it's such a new virus. It's called COVID-19 because it just started in 2019. We have no idea of the long-term effects. We know, for example, that the Red Sox best pitcher last year, Eduardo Rodriguez, can't pitch this year because after dealing with COVID-19 this summer, he now has inflammation of the heart.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, 877-99 on Fox, the Jason Smith Show with Steve DeSager. Coming up, we got more college football on the way, but if you want a great story for tonight that's going to show you how Major League Baseball can finish the season, we got it for you, and it looks like it's going to happen. That's next, Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon, Steve DeSager in for Harmon tonight. And we got a big baseball story to bring you because this is the best news baseball's had in quite a while. However, the Oakland A's were looking for their 87th win in a row. Taking on the Angels tonight, and there was one person, Steve DeSager, who said, you know what, I really don't want this to happen for the Oakland A's.
Mike Trout is on the Angels, so they do have a chance at a victory, even though they were down 5. Trout, how about this evening? 4 hits, 4 runs scored, 2 homers, including a solo shot, bottom of the 8th, to break a 9-9 tie, and it's just gone final in Anaheim. Angels end the A's 9-game winning streak, 10-9. Mike Trout, since he became a father, has 6 home runs in 7 games. On his career, he's inching closer to 300 career homers already. His career batting average is .305. The guy just continues. Here, we mentioned earlier in the show that Matt Chapman was the guy of the night for Oakland. He'd had 2 homers and then a 3-run triple, and Trout still trumps him, 10-9 Angels.
The Angels 3-4-5 batters tonight, Trout, Rendon, and Ohtani, a combined 8 for 12, scoring 8 runs and 7 RBIs.
And so each of them homered, yeah.
Yes, the middle of the order doing it for the Angels tonight, who, look, let's face it, I picked the Angels as being my surprise, one of my surprise playoffs.
6-11, that's a surprise.
Yeah, no, well, surprise. so not quite the start I expected for them, but look, hey, they're mashing the ball, and if Rendon would just, you know, hit higher than a $140, you know,
he
maybe
raised his average 40 points tonight. What are you talking about?
He may be breaking out of it a little bit. They can outslug some teams. Look, you only have to get to 32 wins to 33 wins to probably make the playoffs. You know, we may wind up seeing some teams sneak in right at 500.
It
so
is
it's
a short.
Like, you got to go crazy.
Shortened season, as you mentioned. So Bill Shaken, L.A. Times, who had the big MLB in a bubble question mark story tonight. We'll get to that in a moment. But Shaken did say after the Angel game tonight, Mike Trout is on pace to hit 25 homers this year. 25 in a 60-game season. And of course, Trout is not playing all 60 because he was away when he became a father. If you go back just the full, say, what's normally a full year, his last 162 games, Mike Trout has 58 home runs.
Big, big night for Trout. Big night for the Angels. And Chapman, six RBIs. That's nice. Hey, at least if you had him in fantasy, you had a big night. But as Steve mentioned right there, a big story. Jeff Passan of ESPN had this earlier tonight. And this kind of broke during our show, is that Major League Baseball is now mulling and having preliminary discussions about holding its postseason in a bubble-type format after the COVID outbreaks on the Cardinals and the Marlins. And this is such a good idea. This will take care of all of baseball's issues, right? Because what's the problem baseball is facing right now? Look, we're playing games. Rob Manfred, I'm not a quitter. Well, the Cardinals are never going to finish the season right now. They got 45 days to play 55 games. That's not going to happen. You can't keep loading them up.
So you're saying there's a chance.
Listen, the Cardinals are going to play 9 one-inning games tonight, right? We're going to start off with the bases loaded in the top of every inning.
We're going to have an opener on the mound.
And they're going to catch up.
He'll also be the closer on the mound.
This is how we're going to get it going. So you either have to do one of two things if you're Major League Baseball. You either have to pause the season so all the teams that need to catch up can catch up, or you have to cut the number of games from 60 to 50 so everybody can play the same number of games, because you don't want to play the whole win percentage situation because it's too difficult to do and it's not fair. But if the Major League Baseball solution is to have bubble playoff cities, this solves everything. Now, why? Well, where are the playoff bubbles going to be? Someplace where it's really warm. And let's just say, oh, I don't know, and I'm sure this is where it's going to wind up being. But let's just say you decide to play in Los Angeles, Anaheim, and San Diego, right? Everybody plays close to each other. So that way, when there's not a lot of movement, you can take the bus up. You don't have to worry about travel. It would be awesome. You can play in those three cities. And since it's warm weather, you no longer have to worry about finishing by a certain time if you're playing into November. You can take time at the end of the year where teams that need to make up games can make them up. And you get ready and you figure the end of the regular season. And then you have all the teams, all right, everybody's made up games. Now we can have the playoffs. But boy, we're starting late and it's going to be really cold. But no, if you play in a bubble-type format, you solve all those problems. It's 75 degrees in L.A. every single day.
And Arizona is indoors, remember.
It's, right. Arizona's fine, too. You can have people. You can. I don't know. I would assume you would need probably, let's just say, four locations, probably.
Okay, so we'll use Arizona, and then the team that's not playing that day but just goes to see the game, they can use the pool in right field.
Exactly. See, Steve, you got ideas. You're an idea guy, man.
One person in baseball does.
So you can have that. And so you could play two games a day at each different park in the playoffs. And I get it's a lot of teams in the beginning. Remember, these early round series are only three games, so you're gonna get past that rather quickly. So you can play where the weather is nice. And even if, let's just say, well, we're gonna play someplace else, you know, in a warm climate, we're gonna play in Florida, taking one plane ride. You can figure out a way around it where you are minimizing the travel. You're playing in nice weather. So now all of a sudden that's out the window. You have to worry. We're finished the season when we finish the season. And you don't have to worry about changing cities, taking so many days off in the playoffs. You don't have to play, well, game one is Monday. Game two is we're taking a day off to play game two on Wednesday, then travel day Thursday. Then we're going to play game three and four on Friday and Saturday. We're going to take Sunday off. We don't want to be opposite the NFL. Then we're going to play Monday for game five. Then we got to change back to game six. A day off, we play game six on Wednesday. Don't have to do that. You can play three games, take a day off, three games. You can play. It doesn't matter. You can play three games in a row, have a day off, and then play three games in a row. Baseball's predicated on the every day. It helps out teams in the postseason when you take days off. That way they only have to start three pitchers in a series. Obviously, you couldn't do that if you're talking about playing the games in a more slower amount of time. You need at least four pitchers, but you know, hey, that's how it works.
No travel, though. What you just said there, we need to focus on, because what is the postseason? It's two games and get on a flight. One game, get on a flight. And it's the whole month of October is like that, in addition to all the pressures and sometimes coast-to-coast travel. Can you imagine an entire postseason where essentially you don't travel outside of a 100-mile zone?
Yeah. You don't. It solves everything. It makes so much sense that no way MLB will do it. There's no way they'll do it. It makes too much. Players will fight and say, we don't want this. We need to be compensated a different way. The owners are going to say, we don't want to do it. It makes too much sense. It makes too much sense. And everything that comes up in Major League Baseball is always a negotiation. Yes, everything is a negotiation, yeah. But especially in Major League Baseball, no matter what. Hey, where do you want to go for dinner? Let's go to Olive Garden. Well, that's a negotiation. Well, we have to figure it out. This would take care of all the issues baseball has.
Trout right always now, steals my breadsticks. Yeah.
Do you have any more breadsticks? We ran out. I thought they were bottomless. Now we ran out. I'm sorry. There are issues that baseball has, and right now the mantra is just get us to the postseason. Just get us past all this craziness of every day and COVID-19 and players not adhering to the parameters they should be. Just get us to the postseason.
Cha-ching.
Where everything's going to be okay, and it's going to be more money for television revenue, more playoffs, more everything. Just get us to the postseason.
This is why baseball wanted the postseason in October, and not to delay it like other sports, or like even Japanese baseball, or I think Korean baseball could be going to November and then just move to the one dome stadium they have. Baseball wanted October baseball because if there was a second wave of the virus this year, that would cost them the most money.
Mm-hmm. Hey, that's how it works. That would, all of this is what makes this is... I would be real. Now, I make a joke, but I really would be surprised if this didn't happen. If this didn't happen for them to figure out, and probably it's going to be in the West. I would assume it would be here. You know, you could do it in Florida, but does baseball want to go where they have big COVID outbreaks? And I don't think you want to do that. I assume they will come out here, and you will see probably. I would say, Steve, I think
it's
you're
not
right.
Like
Arizona,
California is killing it in the virus.
No, but still, you want to be able to have Major League Baseball stadiums, four of them, all within a couple hours of each other. Mm-hmm. And yes, Arizona to LA is a 5-hour ride, but you can take a 5-hour bus ride if you need to. You have those four stadiums. That's where it's going to wind up being.
One-hour flight.
I bet all my money saying where they're going to play those four stadiums. That's going to be it right there.
And with the new wild card round, is that what they're calling it, by the way?
Yes, the new wild card round.
Okay, so that's at most three games, and mm-hmm. then even the division series after that is best of five. So most people will be eliminated pretty shortly. We don't have a date for you, but in that this year, half of the major leagues are getting into the playoffs. At least half of those half, they're going to be out quickly.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, phone number 877-99 on Fox. Coming up in 90 seconds, we got more on what should really be the definitive end of the college football discussion of is it better to play now or to postpone for a little bit. But first,
be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Special delivery, Steve DeSager in for Mike Harmon tonight. And boy, do we have a great play of the night coming your way in about, 15 seconds from now.
Thailand.
Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Visit geico.com to learn more. Well, when you break the tie of a 121-121 game with 0.4 seconds left, you get to be the play of the night.
The 2-2 from Shreve to Cabrera. Reaches for one, man. And hits in the air to deep left center field. Back on this one, McNeil to the warning track, to the wall, and it is gone.
Okay, let me stop you right there. The Mets suck.
Just so you know, Tyshirt, the Mets opted out of tonight's game against the Nationals in the fifth inning. All right,
They probably didn't get invited.
No, they were hosting the game. They just opted out the midway through.
Oh, okay.
This is how it worked out, yes. But the real play of the night is, well, let me set it up again.
I don't think we're going to get to it. Washington was obviously, by the way, the Nationals were just happy to get away from their own tarp. And so they just let loose on the Mets.
Denver and the Lakers tied at 121 apiece with just seconds remaining, and the final play is called and drawn up for Kyle Kuzma.
Into AD with three, with two. Kuz to win it. Yes, sir! Kuzma! It's not official yet. .4 remaining. But Kuz drains it.
Lakers Television Network on the call. Kyle Kuzma, part of a huge night for him. He started for the Lakers. He shot 11 out of 15 from the floor. It was a big night for him. He winds up overall with 25 points. LeBron goes for 29. Anthony Davis goes for 27. Lakers get the win. More importantly, Kyle Kuzma gets confidence, is empowered, and this is the Kyle Kuzma the Lakers need him to be in the playoffs if they're going to win the title. But here's the crazy part of tonight is that somehow, and you know, anytime I see a stat line like this, I go back to games, Steve, where like Kobe Bryant decides I'm not going to shoot the first half, you know, just because I'm mad at the Lakers or I want other guys to step up, so I'm not going to shoot the ball. LeBron, how long did he go without a rebound tonight?
It was to the final 5 minutes, I think.
He did not have a rebound. I mean, LeBron James is near a triple-double every single night. He was without a rebound into the final 5 minutes.
That hasn't happened
the night tonight
since 2010 that he's gone a full game in the NBA without a rebound. He did have 12 assists.
So if you told me, okay, why does LeBron not have one rebound? And you said to me, LeBron was specifically staying away from rebounding the basketball so other guys would get it, I would give that a good 40 to 50% chance of being true. I would say I could see LeBron doing that. 100% I can see that. He's between 8 and 12 rebounds every single night. He only has one tonight? Yeah. I mean, come on. That's just too much for coincidence to not be true.
Lakers only have one game left to finish the regular season in the bubble, and they'll find out this weekend who they face in the first round of the playoffs, because guaranteed we'll have a play-in starting Saturday afternoon. If the 9 seed in the West loses Saturday, they're out. But if the 9 seed wins Saturday, they have to win again Sunday to steal that 8 seed and then face the Lakers in a best of 7.
And it's not going to be a prize for whoever the Lakers wind up playing, because both the Blazers and the Suns, who have closed in on Memphis, well, look, you want to play Memphis because they've clearly not even shown up. But playing either of those teams is going to be really difficult. But I would say if the Lakers had to choose, they would want Phoenix to come out of there rather than try to take on that backcourt in Portland. Suddenly, Melo is hot. You know, Portland looks terrific right now. So I would say if they had that, they would really want Phoenix over. They're rooting for Phoenix to come out of there. Yeah. And basically anybody but Portland.
Because Booker could score 30. Both guards could score 30 in a Portland game.
Yeah, and you know, then Melo scores 25, and suddenly look at him. I'm not done. I'm not washed up. I'm still great. Look at me.
He has been surprising.
He's been. I was wrong about him. I was wrong. He's been great. Who knew? Twitter at How About a Fresca, 877-99 on Fox, the number. Thanks a bunch, Steve-O. We'll do it again tomorrow night.
Yes.
My buddy Ben Maller is next.